You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We have today with us as a guest who is making a very important contribution to business in Southern California. I'm going to let Bob Marsh tell you a little bit about what he does with businesses and helping to manage this tsunami of documents that we have. I thought that we were going to have a paperless office. So welcome to the Pilgrim on the 405. Tell us about yourself and how you got into this place where you're actually helping people to do what we said we would do several years ago.
Good morning, Will, and thank you so much for having me. And it's a pleasure to be here, and good morning to your listeners. Well, I am the owner and principal of the File Depot, and we are a nationwide company that specializes in document record management. And what that means is we like to help companies, both small, medium, large, assist them in all of their document record management needs, whether it's helping them become organized, whether it's offsite record storage, scanning to go digital, or even shredding to get rid of unneeded paperwork. And so it's something that is in demand these days. There's more and more mandates coming down from the government, from industries, and even statewide, forcing people to go paperless and to go digital. But there's a lot more to it than just scanning. And that's why I like to help my clients and educate my clients on just helping serve them a little better.
Well, so how did you get to Southern California? Did you grow up here?
Yes, I was born and raised in Seal Beach, so I'm an Orange County native, and went away to school for a few years at the University of Wisconsin, and then came home, and fortunate enough to attend Pepperdine University, and then also stayed on and went to grad school, and was also adjunct faculty there.
Really? What did you teach?
I was teaching history.
Well, tell me about how you got from there to where you are today.
Well, I'll try and keep it short, although my wife contends that I have a disease where it takes me 11 words to say hello. But basically from Pepperdine and wanting to become a history professor, I was just saddled with numerous student loans and was watching friends of mine from all different schools, all different majors, join the mortgage industry, which was booming back in the late 90s and early 2000s. And so I joined the mortgage industry. I took a sabbatical from Pepperdine and joined the mortgage industry to pay off student loans. And much to my parents' chagrin, I never went back to teaching. I do hope to get back to it someday. It is still a passion of mine. But I went into the mortgage industry. I found that I loved sales. I enjoyed that very, very much. Enjoyed helping the public. And through that, then went from several mortgage companies and then started my own company.
Well, now, tell us a little bit about what you do. A little bit more about what you do. What problems do you solve for businesses?
Yeah, so being that I was working hand in hand as a mortgage broker and the owner of a
mortgage brokerage,
tons and tons. And because of that, I was working hand in hand with my compliance officer. And so I grew to find not only the importance of being in compliance, but also on top of it, being organized and being up on all of the industry guidelines when it came to documents and records. And I also found that there was a real lack of customer service in that industry. So when I decided several years ago that I wanted a change and I wanted a new challenge and decided to leave the mortgage industry, when I was approached by this nationwide chain called the File Depot, it immediately grabbed my attention. I was very, very interested because I knew that there was not only a need far-reaching in every type of business to better handle their documents and records, but I also knew that there was a severe lack of customer service. And that's what really helped me become passionate about this and something that helps me get up in the morning and be excited to help people.
Well, what problems does the small to medium-sized business in Southern California, what problems do we have around document management, all of this paper?
The problems are numerous. Number one is a lot of people don't know how to organize their documents and records. And so it's that ongoing problem that they just hope will go away, but they never do anything about. And so many, many companies have that records room or that documents room that is in complete disarray. I oftentimes will call it a dungeon, where people will have to go and retrieve documents or files or boxes of records, and no one wants that task because they can't find anything. It's not organized, and there's no retention schedule in place. And when I say retention schedule, that's something that a lot of office managers, compliance officers, aren't even aware of. And a retention schedule is something that tells the principals or the officers of the company how long to keep things for, in the way in which they should be kept, and when to get rid of them. And a lot of companies just simply don't know that a retention schedule exists. And that's one way where I can come into a company, regardless of size, and help them put a retention schedule together so they know how to keep things, how long to keep things, and help them become better organized. So it's not so much of a pain point.
All right. So one was organization. Yes. Two is having this retention schedule. What other problems do we have?
Offsite record storage is another offering that I have, and that is a lot of companies, especially here in Southern California, where real estate is so astronomically expensive, you find that there are a lot of businesses that are using their space in their offices to store their documents and store their records. Number one, it's not economically feasible, and number two, it's typically not safe. Because it's amazing, the people that I talk to and owners or office managers typically, where we'll get discussing who has access to those vital documents and records, and they don't realize until they start walking through it that it's not just their employees, but you have other salespeople coming in and out. You have cleaning crews coming in and out. You have general public coming in and out, strangers. And they, sadly, oftentimes have direct access to vital records, which they should not. So one of our offerings is offsite record storage. I have a 7,000 square foot facility in Orange County. It's the first one. I hope to have many more. But we actually store the documents and records securely, properly. Everything is barcoded, so I know where everything is at all times. And whenever they need anything, all it is a quick email or a quick phone call, and they have access to their documents.
All right, so organization, retention schedule, offsite record storage.
The number one platform that I offer is scanning, and that's to help companies go digital. We're finding more and more, it started with the medical industry, where the government mandates came down that they had to go digital, and we're seeing more and more of those mandates on the horizon. And so the biggest platform that I offer is that scanning and digitization. So I have a wonderful crew that does a phenomenal job. Their attention to detail is just extraordinary. And what we can do to make it easy on the businesses is we'll go to their location, whether it be at their office, an off-site location, what have you. We'll pick up the records, take them back to our facility. They're scanned in Garden Grove. At my facility, so in Orange County, and that's very, very critical because there are some companies out there that offer scanning services. However, to try and save a buck, they will send those records either out of state or even worse, out of the country. And in doing so, you lose custody of your records. So I do like to stress that all of my clients, all of their records are maintained right here in Orange County.
Well, so talk to me about some of the companies that you've worked with to help them solve some of these problems.
Sure. An example of our offsite record storage, that would be Goodwill. We're a partner with Goodwill. They have been a terrific, terrific partner of ours, and we help them with their offsite record storage. Even though they have enormous facilities, they were finding that not only were the boxes piling up and piling up, but then on top of it, they also recognized the security issues and that a lot of people had access to vital documents and records, and they wanted to do something about that. And so they're one of our clients for the offsite record storage. For scanning, I'm very proud to say that we work with American Metal Bearing. This is a company that's right here in Orange County. They've been around since 1924, and they do all of the bearings for our U.S. Naval fleet. And they decided several years ago that they wanted to become digital. A lot of their plans, a lot of their engineering blueprints were falling apart simply because of time. And these are critical documents that they need forever. There's no end date with this because the U.S. Navy uses them for the current and future technology of what they're building. And so they decided that it was smart to go digital. And so we've been working with them on a two-year project. We've been working for 2 years. We have another 2 years left, a minimum, of this project to help them go digital. And they have loved it. Just as an example, it was the first time in their history since 1924 that they were able to bring all of their digital records to their shows and conventions, and not only be able to show them to their current clients, but to potential clients. And everything being digital, they were able to bring them instead of always before. It was never an opportunity to do so because a lot of their blueprints are like carpet rolls. They're just massive. They could be hundreds of feet long. So that's one of our partners, our clients, in regards to scanning. And then one of the other platforms that I offer is shredding, proper HIPAA-approved, a level 3 crosscut shredding. And one of our clients with the shredding is payday loans. Many people are probably familiar with payday loans. They have offices all throughout California, and we help them with their secure shredding. They were using a different company prior to the File Depot coming on board, and they found that the mobile trucks that were coming to their facilities were using what's called strip cut shredding. And the problem with strip cut shredding is that material can be put back together.
In fact, it was put back together back in the Iran crisis.
Yes, yes.
That if you have enough people, you can reassemble all of those documents from that.
Exactly.
That kind of shredding.
Exactly. And with identity theft being the fastest growing crime in the world, what identity thieves have found is they can take that strip cut and they can send it to places like Vietnam and Cambodia. And they can pay very, very cheap labor to put that material back together. And the finished product is very, very lucrative from where they're coming from.
Wow.
So what we do is what's called level 3 crosscut shredding, where the paper is basically pulverized so you can't even make out letters. And then on top of that, it is then turned around and recycled into new paper. So Payday Loans is one of our clients that we help them. So now they're totally in compliance with their proper shredding, and we're very, very proud to help them.
So the problem that you solved for payday loans was getting rid of documents.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And securely disposing of them.
Exactly.
And that's not something that's easily done.
No. As I'm sure many of your listeners have tried before with those small little desktop shredders, they typically jam, the motors burn out very, very quickly, and it's a frustrating, time-consuming type of endeavor where the nice thing is that we have the machinery at our facility where everything is done properly, and it gives people the peace of mind to know that everything is done beyond the letter of the law. And then on top of that, they also receive a certificate of destruction so that they have that for the records. That way, if they're ever audited or subpoenaed, they can show that everything was properly destroyed.
Well, let's go back to the American metal bearing.
Yes.
What when we talk about digitization, very often I think of saving space.
Right.
What I hear here is that because of digitization, they were able to go to trade shows and it improved their sales.
Exactly. So originally this whole topic came up because they wanted to get their old engineering plans digitized so that they didn't have to worry about them completely disintegrating, which was what was happening. But as the project moved along and grew, they realized that there were so many other benefits. The ease of sharing information was huge for them. Being that they can be dealing with naval people or, well, I should say, naval servicemen or women, along with even clients and customers and things like that, that can be halfway around the globe. And so the ease of sharing that information because it was digital was huge for them. So that was a big factor that they never even thought about initially. And then the other one that came up recently was they were so thrilled to be able to, like I said, go to these conventions, go to these trade shows, speak with potential clients, and be able to show them the proof that how the technology has grown and the evolution of these bearings. And really, you can see it in the evolution of our naval fleet. So to be able to show that firsthand just from a laptop or an iPad, something like that, was a huge benefit to them that they didn't even recognize up front.
So that's another advantage to digitization is while in the process of digitizing, there are going to be a lot of ancillary, not even thought of uses.
Yes.
For these files.
Absolutely. Freeing up usable space is one at the actual office location. But then on top of it, there are so many other benefits to it. Like I said, the ease of sharing the information, security is important. On top of that, you also see that, it's environmentally friendly. You're not, just going through reams and reams and reams of paper anymore. On top of that, being digital, you're not going to have to worry about so many compliance issues. So there's just quite a few benefits to this.
Now, you were once telling me about a dental office where you were working.
Yes.
So tell us that story.
Yeah, so it's a client of mine, but I had been a patient of this dentist here in Orange County for years. Very, very bright man. He's run his practice effectively since the early 80s. And I had been after him to try and obtain his business. And he was never comfortable with it. And we finally had a discussion where he said, well, I know better than to store all of my patient records at my home, like so many of my colleagues do. And I said, well, you're smart there. And he said, well, I also know that I shouldn't be storing them in just a typical offsite, storage area, because a lot of times they're not properly secure. And I said, I agree with you there. And he said, so I like to keep everything right here in my office. And he has a beautiful office in Huntington Beach. And one of his offices in the suite was filled with nearly 400 boxes of old patient records. And what I was able to introduce to him was me coming, picking up those almost 400 boxes, taking them back to my HIPAA secure facility, storing them for him. And beyond that, it was the fact that I opened up a revenue stream for him, because he was then in turn able to put a dental hygienist in that office so that he has a revenue stream. So instead of taking up that usable space in his office in Huntington Beach, he was able to offload all of those boxes and then put a hygienist in there, which was providing him revenue rather than losing money. And once we had that discussion, the light bulb went off and he was thrilled. He looked at me and said, Bob, why didn't I think about this years ago? And I said, well, better late than never.
Well, isn't that part of what we learn, is that it's not a matter of me thinking about that years ago? It's not a dentist's job,
right,
to recognize the value of the real estate in his additional office,
right,
and then decide that, I can store these off-site, or I can even have them digitized and store them in the computer on a hard drive.
Exactly.
But that's not his job.
Right. He was always looking at it that he was writing the rent check every single month or paying the mortgage on the building every single month. So why not put that space to use and store his documents there? He was never thinking of the opposite angle or the flip side of the coin, that he could actually remove those boxes and have a much, much greater revenue stream in that area.
And isn't that so interesting that it's through talking and letting other people's eyes look at our issues?
Yes.
Because he probably didn't even realize he had a problem.
Exactly.
And so it's through conversations, and it's really through letting other experts, maybe it's even asking for help.
Well, and oftentimes there's some pushback, and people are often afraid to ask for help. But at the same time, just having open communication you oftentimes find that there are pain points that people don't even realize. That maybe it's trapped deep down in their subconscious. But once you start having those discussions, it's amazing what comes to the surface.
Well, so I suppose that one of the things that we're learning is that building trust, getting into a place where somebody does not believe they're going to be, you know, somebody's going to try to sell them something that they don't want.
Right.
That somebody's really willing to listen, and they find that out, they come to that conclusion because people are asking more questions. They're empathizing, and they come across, whether they are or not, they come across as genuine,
right,
and having a genuine interest in the nature, the obstacles, the limitations that person is experiencing in their business.
Exactly.
Well, I want to take a little time off now and listen to some of our sponsors, and we'll come back, and I want you to tell me a little bit more about how your business is working in Southern California.
Perfect.
So we'll be right back with the Pilgrim on the 405 and our guest with Bob Marsh right after these messages.
Hi, time for another tip from the Sandler Sales Institute. Prospects want your information and expertise. Prospects have been trained by the vast majority of salespeople to feel entitled to your valuable information. Most salespeople are comfortable in coughing up their expertise for free. However, when the orders don't come and the prospect has shopped your information to your competitor, the salesperson has fallen victim to unpaid consulting. Before giving information, ask good questions. What does the prospect want? What is the urgency? What are the consequences of not buying anything? What is the decision-making process? Eliminate unpaid consulting. This has been another Sandler Sales Institute tip.
And now back to the Pilgrim on the 405 and our guest today, Bob Marsh, who is an expert in helping businesses recognize how to organize what seems to be an increasing tsunami of records and paper and to help develop a schedule for when do we get rid of this paper, and then when we want to get rid of it, what do we do with it? And then finally, is it possible that we might convert things into a digital file, and then from then on always move toward a digitalization? So, Bob, tell us a little bit about how you run your business here in Southern California.
Yes, well, I'm fortunate. I was raised by a single mom who was a little entrepreneurial and had antique stores in Long Beach. And she always taught my sister and I that if you treat your customers like family, they will always come back to you. If you always maintain that level of respect and trust and care, that will always come back. And so that is something that I've always carried with me, whether it was from teaching to being a mortgage broker to now helping companies with their documents and records. I think that it's critical, especially in today's age, especially also here in California, where there is so much competition. And on top of that, a lot of businesses have just lost that whole customer service ideal. And so I really pride myself on the fact that and it was critical to me to have my cell phone on my business cards so that my customers can reach me at all times. When they have a problem with their documents and records, or not even a problem, if they have a question, if they have a concern, they're able to reach me. They're not calling halfway around the globe. They're not getting a call center in the Philippines or India or something like that. They're reaching me or one of my trusted colleagues to be able to handle things and handle things properly. So that's really a core value of mine as a small business. I think that that's what helps differentiate me from others out there, that customer service is really a key point.
So what are other core values that you have in addition to customer service being a key point?
Well, are you talking about personally or professionally?
Professionally.
Professionally, again, I think that it's a key that you treat customers like family. I think loyalty is something that you just need to have that oftentimes is lacking in our area. I think you need to be a great listener. And on top of it, you need to be not only willing, but have the desire to go the extra mile for your customers. I think so many times these companies out there today are just looking at the bottom line or are just looking at margins or trying to cut corners every which way they can. And unfortunately, the customers suffer from it.
So customer service is the key.
Yes.
Treat customers like family.
Yep.
Be a great listener.
Mm-hmm.
And then being willing to go the extra mile.
Yes.
So what is that? What have you seen that do for your business with these kind of core values?
That has really improved my business tremendously on all sides of it. Because there's just such a lack of customer service. People are blown away when I'll have discussions with them and they see that my cell phone is on my business card. When they call and I actually answer. Or if I'm on the other line, that I call them right back. Those simple things that so many people take for granted. But when they are introduced to them again, they realize how important it is and how much they appreciate it. And there really is a true appreciation for that. When, you know, this just recently happened where a customer of mine, she's a speech therapist in Newport Beach, had some very, very pressing concerns and called me on a Sunday. And she was so thrilled that I picked up. She thought for sure she was just going to get my voicemail, leave a message, and I'd call her back Monday morning. Instead, I picked up, and we had a great conversation, and I put her mind at ease. That gave me satisfaction because I knew that she would be able to sleep better that Sunday night rather than having to wait 24 hours to hear back. But it was something that she was not expecting.
So would it be fair to say that you are treating these people like people rather than customers or prospects?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a big difference, isn't it?
There's a huge difference. And we all feel that way. We all feel that way. When you have something come up, whether it's an urgent matter, a life-threatening matter, or something that's a little bit more easy, but still something that's bothering you, it always feels so good to be able to call and speak to somebody about it immediately than getting a recording or leaving a message or having to put your feelings on hold because of someone else's schedule.
Yeah, we were looking to redo the carpet on our balcony, our small balcony on our second floor condo in Laguna Beach. Okay. And we thought we knew how to do it. We'd done it before with Home Depot, but they no longer supplied installers, so we were kind of stuck.
Right.
And then we thought, maybe we'll call Empire.
Huh.
Well, before I even called Empire, I said, well, I'll Google Empire.
Right.
And what came up was Angie's List.
Okay.
So up came Angie's List, said, what are you looking for? I'm looking for, you know, carpet installer.
Yep.
Up came three names. I call, I typed in the information. Within 30 seconds after I hit submit, I had the number one person call me back.
There you go.
And he's coming Saturday. Now, there's something about that that's very satisfying.
Yes. And just gives you peace of mind. And because I'm sure it was something that would have bothered you had you been spending days on this. And then, of course, your wife is after you for, to get this project done. And it's, just another item on the to-do list.
Right, right. And to have that kind of response. And now I've heard about that, that when somebody fills out something on your website, if you're back with them or when you contact them within 5 minutes, that something significant happens in that time.
Yes.
And I experienced that. So I suppose that's like family. If my family said to me, give me a call, I would do it.
Exactly.
And why wouldn't I do that for a prospect or a customer?
Exactly. For most people, if they're family and dear friends, I know I myself consider my dear friends part of my family. And in doing so, if my phone rings and one of my friends says, I have a problem, well, I instantly want to help in some way. It's just my nature to say, well, what's the problem? Tell me more. And then try and find a solution. And I think most people are like that. I think that most of us find a great sense of satisfaction when we're able to help people. And when you look at these clients as people and individuals And as family, it gives you a different level of understanding.
So tell me a little bit about your office in digitalization. I mean, we talked about this earlier, that there was this promise of a paperless office. Now, scale of 1 to 10, where are you? 10 being we don't have paper at all, and 1 being, well, we just ignore the paperless and we're still doing paper.
Well, and that's a great question. Naturally, I'm always going to have paper at my facility because I'm storing that paper for other clients.
Yes.
But, no, we are, I would say, probably 80% digital. There are still some items that we'd like to keep a paper hard copy of. And that's just because I'm an old dinosaur and I still appreciate having the ability to put my fingers on things if I'm not right in front of my computer. But that being said, the majority of all of our documents are all digitized in digital form, backed up. And that's another item that is so critical is making sure that you have everything backed up. Crazy things happen in this world, and it's amazing, but it's not just thefts. It's not just misplacing things, but you also have every kind, as we've seen in this past year, you have every type of natural disaster that can come our way that is totally unexpected. And so it's very, very critical for people to have things digitized, but also have them backed up. So it is something that I think any of your listeners should keep in mind. It's one thing to have it on your desktop or on your laptop or on an iPad or something like that. But if it's not backed up, you still are not covered.
It backed up, could that be in Dropbox and iCloud?
Exactly. You can use the cloud services. There are so many cloud services. My company itself offers cloud services. But there are numerous ways. You can put them on hard drives and keep them off site. That way you have access to your material, but you have peace of mind to know that there's a backup somewhere. Their cloud services now are so wide-ranging, it's phenomenal, and they're so cheap. The prices really, really come down. So any of those type services are fantastic. And it's nothing to be scared of. The nice thing is that it could be explained very, very easily. It's cheap, so it's not going to crush anyone's budget. And on the other hand, it gives you peace of mind.
Now, one of the things that I've been fascinated with in the world of digitization and storage, online storage, or storage with different media, is that the media changes. I mean, we go from records to
To CDs.
CD. Well, yep. What about the tape in between there?
Well, right. And we had Blu-ray discs, but prior to that, they were the large discs that were the size of the old records.
Yeah,
and like that.
But then we also had the videotapes, right? The audio tapes.
Yep.
And we've got boxes of audio tapes. And we could,
VHS and
we
beta.
We cannot let those tapes go because they have this wonderful music on it, but we'll never listen to them.
Right. Well, that's what's nice. Once the information, once the data is digitized, the nice thing is that as technology evolves, as the times change, you still have it in digital form where it can be transcribed, it can be changed. But when it's just, you know, on that VHS tape or on that beta tape or, you know, on that piece of paper, that lends to more problems, you know. And it's interesting, you mentioned with digitizing and cloud storage. One of my clients, I had been after her for months to come aboard. She's a physician, also in Orange County, and she was storing all of her records in her garage, which is completely against HIPAA compliance. Unfortunately, she could have lost her license. She just wasn't aware of it. She truly did not know the ramifications of her decision to store all of her documents in her garage. And that was simply because she was moving offices. And so she moved from one office to the other. She put everything in the garage thinking, oh, I'll move it back. And it never happened. Well, I was after her for months to allow me to help her with her offsite record storage. And in the meantime, she called me on a weekend. Dire emergency. Her hard drive had crashed, and she had, what she was facing was losing 100% of her records. she was in a complete panic. Now, I had been after her to not only do the offsite record storage, but to also use my cloud services or someone else's. I told her, if you don't want to use mine, that's perfectly fine, but use someone's. Just get this backed up. Well, she was in a complete panic. Fortunately, my IT department was able to recover over 90% of her records. Now, we weren't able to recover 100%, and so that was a shame. But fortunately, the pieces that we were not able to recover were old patients that she no longer sees, and it was past the expiration date. So she was not out of compliance or out of regulation. So that really gave her peace of mind. But it was so interesting. Now, she not only do we store for her with her offsite, with our offsite record storage, but she's also one of our cloud clients, and it just gives her peace of mind. And it's interesting, when I visit her office, she oftentimes tells the story to her new employees, and they get such a kick out of it because they know what a stickler she is. And number one, they can never imagine her storing all of her records in her garage. And number two, they just cannot imagine the kind of panic that she experienced when her hard drive crashed.
Right.
Because
right.
She just didn't have a backup. She just never thought it would happen to her.
I used to have that fear of either theft of my laptop or the hard drive dying. Until then, I think it was Time Machine, Apple Time Machine, which automatically backs it up all the time. And now somebody says, well, you got to be very careful because somebody might steal your laptop. Right. Well, it's just a device because it's not the content.
Exactly.
The content is there. And when I buy a new computer, we simply plug in the old stuff, and we don't even look at the used computer. It comes right off the cloud.
Exactly. That's what I tell my clients that are our scanning clients. We will come out to their facility. We'll pick everything up. We bring it back to our facility. Everything is scanned. It goes through our quality control department. Then we bring it back to them on typically 1 to 3 terabyte hard drives. And that's for several reasons. Number one, their quality control division can take a look at it, make sure it's perfectly to their specifications and their liking. But more importantly, they also not only get to plug it into their computers and dump everything so that they have it at their fingertips, but then they can take those hard drives and store them off-site for disaster recovery.
Well, and you can also then take it and put it on the cloud.
Exactly.
Now, all right, so we got a little more time. Tell me a little bit about what are the struggles in your business that you have found in Southern California? What are the things that get in your way of thriving?
The biggest struggle I find, and this really jumps from industry to industry, because for me, it doesn't matter whether I'm dealing with a potential client who is a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or someone in finance. That's a benefit of what I do. But at the same time, what I see a common denominator is the fact that there is a lack of urgency because, hey, we're all busy. There's only so many hours in the day. And because of it, most people are completely focused on the fire that needs to be put out this instant. And so I find my biggest hurdle is that lack of urgency. When I come in, they want to be in compliance. They want to be more organized. They love the idea of being totally digital or close to digital. They even enjoy the idea of shredding the material that they don't want to hold on to anymore and knowing that it was properly destroyed. But it's always, we'll get to it tomorrow, we'll get to it tomorrow. That is a common theme that I find that I seem to battle each and every day.
The lack of urgency.
Yeah.
And why do you think that's there? Because compliance, organization, carrying too much of all of that paper around, security, all of those have some very significant consequences for a business.
But most people have the thought process of it will never happen to me. They hear about companies being hacked. They hear about companies being fined or even shut down for being out of compliance, but they never think it's going to happen to them until I get that urgent call where the hard drive crashed or they've received massive HIPAA fines or things like that. And then the sense of urgency is there, and then we act rapidly. But in terms of forward thinking, a lot of people are just in denial or just hoping that it doesn't happen to them. So they oftentimes will feel the need to deal with whatever it is they're dealing with at that moment and put off the proper management of their documents and records.
Well, when you ask them about what they're doing for compliance or slimming down of their paper,
yes,
organization, security, do they say, "I hope it never happens to me"?
Yes.
They don't understand that hope is not a strategy.
Right, right. And that, I couldn't have said it better, but that really is. They're keeping their fingers crossed.
And is it because they don't want to spend the money?
No.
I mean, your service is not that expensive.
No, it really isn't. I really never get that. As a
I mean, the
fact.
Dentist actually made money off
exactly.
of you, right?
Exactly.
Right?
And again, and he's a perfect example where when I went over my model and we went over the pricing, that was never the issue. For him, it was the fact that, number one, his patients come first, and he has a booked schedule from early in the morning until 7 o'clock at night. And so it was something that he looked to his office manager and said, "I want you to handle this." But when the office manager was ready to just jump immediately, he then had reservations. And it was, "Well, I need to think this through. Well, I need to see the benefits of this. Well, it might take up some more
dentist,
of my time."
The dentist
did, yes. The dentist was thinking that it might not be as smooth and seamless as I was predicting. And come to find out, it really was.
It really was seamless.
Yeah. Yes. But then once he saw the revenue stream that it was going to produce, then he acted very, very quickly.
And now, would it be safe to say that generally your installations or your services produce a significant reduction in cost?
Yes.
I mean, I'm thinking of somebody, a company that when they need to find a document, somebody has to go and do that.
Exactly.
And
there's
an hourly charge to do that.
Exactly. I have a CPA firm that's a client that they were storing all of their documents in a public storage in Temecula, even though their offices are here in Orange County.
Because it's cheaper.
Because they thought it was cheaper. and when I mapped out for them what he was paying, what the owner was paying for his individual employees to drive out to Temecula, go through the boxes, because they were not organized, they weren't barcoded like we do, but to go through box after box after box looking for files and then drive them back to Orange County, the cost was tremendous. But he just never looked at it like that. He thought he was saving himself money by having a storage.
What did he do once he looked at the numbers?
Oh, then there was no arguing about it. I think within 4 days, I had a truck out to his facility to pick up all the boxes and store them off-site for him. And now he's in the process of digitizing them.
So one of the things that businesses in Southern California can do to assist them is to at least ask you to come in and do the audit.
Exactly, exactly. Just and it's free. It really doesn't take a lot of time. But it's just a matter of having a frank conversation with where they're at and what would help them.
And so it seems to me that this might be something that almost any company should be thinking about.
Well, that's what I love about this industry. That's what really was a driving force when I chose document record management, is the fact that, like I said before, it can be a doctor, a lawyer, someone in finance, an engineer, you name it. I mean, anyone in business has to keep records. You're mandated by the federal government, by the state government, by the local governments, and by your industry. So everyone has to pay attention to this. It's just a matter of how they're doing it or if they're burying their head.
Well, simply for me, when I looked at my box of income tax,
yes,
forms that went back 12 years and said to my CPA, "How long do I need to keep these?" And he said, "Well, you might just want to keep them forever." and then I said, "Well, you know, this is a box. Do I need to store this?" and in talking to you when you took them and brought them back to me on a thumb drive,
yep.
And now they're simply in Dropbox.
Yep.
I got that space that I can do a lot of things with now.
Exactly. And you're not having to worry about going through that box that's stuck in the bottom of the closet somewhere. You don't have to worry about it being damaged or somebody getting into it or, you know, it being at the top of your attic or something like that. You have everything at your fingertips at all times.
Recently when the state of California said, what about your return in 2015? We don't have it here.
Exactly.
All I had to do was go down and there it was.
Yep. Right at your fingertips.
Yes, right there. Well, Bob, this is wonderful. I wonder how we can get more people to invite you in to participate in the fruits of your labor.
Well, I appreciate it. It's real, real easy. They can give me a call at any time. My phone number is area code 562-301-2134. Or they can email me, and I try to keep it real simple. It's just Bob Marsh, that's M-A-R-S-H. At thefiledepot.com.
Now, what was that number again?
It's 562-301-2134.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, and thanks for the work that you're doing to help businesses in Southern California thrive. Because it seems to me that when we are in the position to ask for help and to find people that we can trust, then the whole world opens up to us.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I so appreciate the time, Will, and you really are doing a service for your listeners. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. This is another fine opportunity for businesses in Southern California to ask for help, and in doing that, to find ways of either reducing costs or increasing margin, increasing sales. This is the Pilgrim on the 405 wishing you and every business in California the ability to thrive, and we want the owners to be able to get what they want from their business.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.